I had to learn it myself. So it wasn't something that came natural to the household. Mm-hmm. So I did get a lot of literature and books and studies that we had to do, a lot of self-help things, a lot of character building. And then we found social events that would encourage character building so that they not only we read it and try to apply it in our homes, we actually got out there and did some physical fun things that were character building. So, you know, always looking for ways to grow and be the best person we can be. And I think, again, it might be selfish, but I think I needed it. Mm-hmm. So to be a better person and to be a better mother and to be a better teacher and to be the best I could be, I needed to grow this area, and we grew together.
If I am not recording a Who Is Your Mama podcast, then I am probably working at my company, Tippy Toes. I want to tell you about Tippy Toes because there are awesome business opportunities and it might just be a right fit for you. Tippy Toes is a children's dance company and we go into schools and we offer dance classes on site. It is a blast. You don't have to have dance experience, but you do have to have a passion to build a business and make an impact in your community because that is what we do at Tippy Toes. It is a franchise, so you get to run your own business, but you are not in business alone. If you have any interest in possibly exploring the idea of Tippy Toes, of running a franchise yourself, please reach out. Go to check out our website, tippytoesdance.com. That's TippyToesDance.com. TippyToesDance.com. You can learn more about what we do there at Tippy Toes. And who knows, we can even get to hang out more. So go check it out. Would love to see if that is a business fit for you. I know D-Rock literally travels the world all the time. So are you guys able to stay connected?
We try to make a once a month meeting at least that all of us can get together. Wow. So we try to stick to that. And it's been pretty successful. And that keeps us really bonded because, I mean, the technology is nice. You know, I follow social media to see my grandkids and my children. But you definitely need to see each other and be with each other. Individually, I try to see each child at least once a month, too, to have that alone time with each family.
Yeah, that's really special to still do that. It's funny because it's like I'm trying to do that with my 3, 5, and 7-year-old, and you're doing that with your, you know, 20, 30, 40-year-olds. Like, it's funny to think that you still are getting that individual time, but I know I love my individual time with my mom. I love being with my family as a whole, but I do also treasure that individual time and attention from my mom, even still as a 37-year-old, you know?
Yeah. And each family is unique, you know, and they each have different needs and wants. And then you throw the grandkids in there too, and that changes the whole makeup of everything.
Yes. Yes. Right. That's so special to be able to have that time together. And especially, you know, with such a busy schedule, cause you all are all over the place, that you guys, to make that a priority, I also think is setting such an example for your family of the importance of your family and the family unit. So when you think back and you think about, you know, raising your kids and now that they're older and they're all, you know, adults, is there anything when you look back, you know, talking to someone like me, who's got little ones, anything that you're like, man, I wish we would have done this more often, or I wish we did more of this. Is there anything like that that comes to mind for you?
I think I wish I would have hugged more and snuggled more. I am such a doer. Sometimes I get myself too busy to stop. So I think
I love that.
Snuggling.
Hug and snuggle more. I love that.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, I feel like my kids can't get enough of it. I feel like I'm always, you know, in those moments when you're rushing around, they're like, can I have a hug? You're like, absolutely. Like, that's, you know,
that's wonderful.
To think that they want one. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm so lucky. I was yesterday, I woke up. My kids normally, honestly, sleep in their bed, but I woke up in the morning yesterday and I had one daughter on one side glued to my right side, one daughter glued to my left side, and my third daughter laying fully on top of me. So I was landlocked by my kids, but I thought, you know what, it was a great way to wake up and a great way to start the day. So I love that. So more hugs and snuggles. I like it.
And that's what I've seen from my children raising their kids. It's like, wow, they really snuggle and hug a lot. How come I miss that? And yet their schedules are so busy and they have so much to do. I don't know how they do everything they do. Mm-hmm. And it's just wonderful to see that they included hugs and snuggles. That's really important.
Yeah, it is. It's special. And, you know, I hear at some point they might not want as many hugs and snuggles maybe in their teen years. So I'm trying to rack them up now while I can. Well,
I think if you do it now, though, they're going to still want it.
They might want it. That's a good point. That's good. That's true. So as you were raising your kids, was there a time when you saw, you know, characteristics or things in them that you thought, wow, you know, I don't always see that in other kids, or wow, this is, you know, something that you really appreciated or that stood out to you about your children?
Well, I have to say, I think the character study that we did a lot of really stuck out when we were in social situations and I would watch my children interact, the homeschool one especially. I would see a difference. I would see they were more helpful. They were kind. They could have conversations with adults. They looked out for others, and I said, wow, that's cool. I said, okay, this is working.
Yeah.
And so, and I didn't have to tell them. It was natural for them. So that was really encouraging. To me, that was, you know, really important. Academics will come one way or another. It was, you know, I always had the fear when they had to take the school testing and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but that wasn't my strength, so that's not where I put my energy.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. Two things I'm thinking is that one, what did you do? Like, in what ways did you focus on character as you were raising them? So like, was it a dialogue in the house? Were there certain, how did you do that? How did you talk about character or teach them about that?
Be honest, I had to learn it myself. So it wasn't something that came natural to the household. Mm-hmm. So I did get a lot of literature and books and studies that we had to do, a lot of self-help things, a lot of character building. And then we found social events that would encourage character building so that they not only we read it and try to apply it in our homes, we actually got out there and did some physical fun things that were character building. So, you know, always looking for ways to grow and be the best person we can be. And I think, again, it might be selfish, but I think I needed it. Mm-hmm. So to be a better person and to be a better mother and to be a better teacher and to be the best I could be, I needed to grow this area, and we grew together.
That's really interesting to me, because I do feel like in a way I have learned that if I'm wanting to see behavior in my kids, a lot of times I'm like, wait, am I doing it? And sometimes I'm like, no, I'm not doing it, but I'm wanting them to do it. So that is encouraging for me to hear from you, because it's like, sometimes I think that means, well, then we all need to figure out how to do it. You know, if I want to see, and specifically actually what you're talking about is character. If I want to see my kids comfortable walking into a room, speaking with people, feeling confident and comfortable in their own skin, I need to make sure that I'm in that same space and mentally and, you know, showing them that as an example day in, day out. So that's, I think that's so natural for a parent to want something for their kid, maybe not feel equipped to do it, and then stretch themselves to do it. It's amazing what our kids will get us to do too.
I always said, like, our kids are our mirror image, but mostly of our negative quality, mm-hmm. if you're looking,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what I would say. Oh, is that, like you just said, is that something I'm doing wrong also, or is that something I'm doing? And so I would use them as my guiding point. Oh, is that where I'm at?
Yeah. That's so interesting. And it's also just being aware of that. You know, I think, you know, taking the time to look, taking the time to like let things sink in and observe your kids and, you know, think of what you want for them. I do feel like sometimes you can get, or I get into the place of, you know, just lots going on, or, you know, juggling a lot of different things. But the idea of kind of taking a step back and thinking, I want to make sure I'm giving my kids the tools that they need in life. And in hearing what you have done in so many different ways, and the volunteering and really taking action, like teaching them something, but then also saying, now let's go do it. What a powerful tool you gave your kids. And then what's so interesting to me is knowing your kids as adults, they're totally nailing that now. And it comes so much to me back to what you did when they were kids. So that's...
Yeah, and going back to the first two, Jennifer and Bree, I might not have had a strong character building thing. And there is more into the arts and exposing them to music and dance. And they were, you know, Jennifer was able to become a dancer and go to performing high school for dance. So yeah. Although at the time I didn't think I was that great of a mom, I see that, oh, wow, they did have some interest and they followed some of their interests as children also. Mm-hmm. So I think another thing I would like to add is not to be so hard on yourself when you're raising your children. You know, do the best you can and pray for a lot of grace.
Yeah. Grace. Yes. I feel like I didn't really understand grace until I had children. And then I had nothing but grace for my mom. Because then you realize, I mean, and she didn't even need it. You know, my mom, you know, I mean, everybody needs grace. But when you become a mom, you see or a parent, you see things so differently. And then when you have these kids looking up to you and you fall short, you know, you think, man, I hope they forgive me for, you know, getting upset when I shouldn't have, or, you know, whatever that's usually what it is. Let's be honest. But you just think, you need so much grace because we're going to make mistakes. You go from not having kids to all of a sudden having kids and in a way feeling like I'm supposed to know what to do now. Like what? Like I didn't have a kid a month ago and now I do. And now I'm supposed to know what to do. And it feels that way. I feel like a lot of times. So hearing you say not to be so hard on yourself is something I'm going to write down and remember because, you know, I think in a way you feel like you're supposed to have the answers and to know the right way all the time, but it's just not really how it is.
And there's so many answers out there. So not only do you have to have the answer, you have to choose the best ones, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, you know, and like you said, when I first started, I would have to say I was a selfish single person, you know, because you're thinking of yourself. You had no one else to think of. And then all of a sudden, the world has changed completely. It's like, oh,
yeah,
someone else to think about.
Yeah, totally different. A completely different experience. Yes. Well, thinking back, when you think back to raising your kids, what did you love so much? What was a fun time of most enjoyable part of raising your family?
I think with Jennifer and Brake, it's definitely two different lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed having that time to do whatever we like to do and having that type of freedom life. You know, I was young, they were young.
Yeah.
So I don't regret what we did with our time. Wish we had more of it so I enjoyed that part of life, of having that freedom. And then homeschooling, I have to say, was the best years of my life because I was actually doing what I wanted to do, and I didn't know that was what I wanted to do. That just gave me so many opportunities to be who I was and to influence maybe my children.
I would say so, definitely. What about the toughest part when you look back? Was there the hard days, I guess?
I think disciplining was the toughest part because I didn't like to discipline. I thought I didn't like to discipline because I thought I was just free spirit. You know, do whatever you want. But I saw that once you learn how to discipline, it's what everybody craves. You know, as much as freedom is important, rules are just as important to know right from wrong and the consequences it brings.
I love that. I'm writing that down. When you learn how to do it, it's what everybody craves. I think that's so true. There's a way to do it, of course. You know, there's one way to do it where it's not so great, and then other ways that it really can bring the structure that makes kids feel safe.
And again, there's a learning curve, you know.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And it's different with every child. That's
right.
You know, I have three, and my oldest, I think, went to timeout like four times in her life. And it was, you know, I'd look at her and she'd be like, sorry, mom, here you go. You know, or, you know, so just that was her personality. And it still is her personality. And then my next child was a little bit different, spent a little bit more time there. And my third child is yet again, even more different and, you know, different. You know, I get a new book for every child, depending on what I need to figure out. So, but what's interesting when you say that, like when you talk about learning how to do it the right way, is specifically with my youngest, I got a new book. I got 1-2-3 Magic just recently. I read it. I was like, okay, this makes sense to me. This feels comfortable and natural to my husband and I. And sure enough, we start doing it. And it's like such freedom. I'm like, oh my gosh, this has been so powerful. So I'm always amazed at how many things stay true. You know, you were doing this 30 years ago, and it's really, you're saying it's encouraging to hear from you, because it's like, you got to figure it out. It's different for every child, you know, and then you just do the best you can. And to see your children today and what they've become, it's encouraging to just know, okay, this feels right. I can keep doing this. And I don't have to have 100% security in every answer I choose. And some of it just shakes out.
Because every book we read is their experience in life that they had, and it works for them. So even if we read a book on one way that we think one child is going to adhere to, it's not necessarily so, because it's still biased to that person who wrote the book.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to take things from where we get it from and keep trying and see what works for that individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
We're so unique to each one of us.
Yeah. Well, so when you we talk about kind of looking back, and then when you look at your kids today, as a mom of raised four kids who are, you know, awesome kids today that are contributing to the world in such a wonderful way, all of them in their own way, what makes you proud today of your kids?
I am so proud that each one, being raised differently, was able to find what they love in life, and that it brings joy and happiness to their lives. And I'm so blessed that each one of them are in a good marriage, are raising children, and that's what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And that they're good people, and that they're loving and giving. I mean, that was important to me, their happiness.
Well, I would say you nailed it. they are awesome, and they do bring so much joy to the world. What's awesome is that they're enjoying their ride as they're going, because they're also spreading that to others. Do you have advice for a parent, for, I don't know, some mom with three little kids that loves to listen to, you know, parents who have been there and done that? What would your advice be to a parent, another parent, maybe with younger kids?
Love, love, love. Bestow them love, and know that this too will pass. Everything has its season. And as I said before, don't be hard on yourself.
Oh, well, I could just talk to you all day, Deborah. You have so much insight to share. I loved hearing every little bit of what you shared with us today. And I am so inspired by you. I also feel like what's amazing to me about you is that you speak to, you know, I feel like a single mother hears your story and sees your children today and is encouraged. A mom that has her kids in homeschool that wonders, is this, you know, how is this going to turn out for my child? They can look at you and say, pretty awesome. You know, you've experienced so many different things, and I felt like gave your family so many opportunities to experience things in their life, which I think has turned into them doing that in their adult life, and therefore keeping them so happy and satisfied in their own path, because they're not afraid to jump in like you did. And I just am so inspired by you. I think you are one awesome mama that has so much to share and so much wisdom. And I'm just grateful that you gave me some time to talk with you, because you are amazing. And I just appreciate you and what you have done in your life so much.
Well, I thank you for this opportunity. Again, I just jumped in with 2 feet, something that I'm kind of fearful of doing. So you gave me the opportunity to work this out. And it's amazing that this all came about because of raising the children I raised. And this too now makes me proud.
Well, you have lots to be proud of, that's for sure. So I will continue to be a fan of your family. And I think I'm now like following your entire family. So I feel like I'm just a major rock fan in general. So, I'll start the fan club. But I appreciate you so much, and hope you have a wonderful day, and cannot wait for so many parents to get to hear from you and feel inspired by the way you raised your family. So thank you for being one awesome mama and sharing your story with us.
Well, thank you. And I think I came up with a motto.
Oh, yes. Give it to me. I'd love it.
Dream bigger.
Dream bigger. That is so good. And so true to everything you just said.
Because I never thought my dreams would come true then, and they weren't even as big as this. So my son is it's taught me to dream bigger.
That's great. Well, he has done that for you, and he's done that for thousands and hundreds of thousands of other people too. So we're all lucky for that. And now it's really cool to know where he came from and the rest of your family, because they all make such an impact. So I appreciate you kind of pulling the curtains back and letting us see what you did, because it's really spectacular and special. So just thank you so much for your time today, Deborah. Was Deborah Rock. How awesome was that? She has so much to share. She has such an interesting life. When she talked about her unique family and raising two kids as a single mom and then having this huge gap and then raising two more kids, I just feel like that is so interesting to know that so many details changed in her life. Yet at the end of the day, she was showing them love, she was trying new things, and she was encouraging them to try new things. And at the end of the day, what that resulted in is happy adult children who are thriving, who are positive and doing what they love in the world. So Deborah was such a pleasure to get to speak with. And, you know, I know one thing that I'm going to take away, multiple things I'm going to take away, was that she talked about how it was so important how she focused on character as she was raising her kids. It's so easy, I think, for us parents to focus on education or, you know, other things like that, which definitely have their place, but also to think in the end, you know, they spend time with other people, they're communicating with other people. So really making that her focus, I think, has shown in how her children have developed and become these wonderful people who do the same for the rest of the world and bringing happiness and joy. And I wrote down that, you know, if she could go back, she would want to hug and snuggle more. And I think that is such a great sentiment and so, so doable. We can all hug and snuggle more, our little ones. So I think that was a really sweet message for her to share. And, you know, I know that she's there at the end was talking about dreaming bigger. And I love that. I feel like there's no limit to what we can do. And she has shown us that. Come back for another episode with an awesome mama who is going to bring insights and knowledge about parenthood. You don't want to miss it. It's coming up soon.